Hi, I'm Catherine Marr, President and CEO of NPR. A big thank you to our listeners and supporters. Your generosity keeps WSHU strong, especially as we cover critical events like the upcoming election. Because of your support, we can provide the trusted, in-depth election coverage you rely on. Your contributions ensure that WSHU remains your go-to source for reliable, thoughtful reporting. Thank you for being an essential part of our community and for making all this possible.
A Norwalk, Connecticut couple are buying the 125-acre site of a former industrial power plant and plan to develop it into a public park. Austin McCord is the founder of Datto, the state's first private startup company with more than $1 billion valuation. He says he and his wife Allison want to open up access to nearly 2 miles of waterfront on Long Island Sound for the first time in 75 years.
It's just really exciting because parks like this don't exist in Connecticut. And we're so excited to create it. And we understand that, like, this is the beginning of a long journey ahead, but we're committed to go the distance.
Their plan is to repurpose the existing infrastructure into an educational and rec facility. The grounds will be developed into an expansive green and a public beach with a view across Long Island Sound and New York City. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from the Long Island Sound region. A new study shows an increasing risk of flooding on Long Island's South Shore. Connecticut has the fastest growing economy in New England, according to state officials. Nassau schools have received 80 threats this year alone, and a group of theater students take their production from Sacred Heart to Scotland. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Communities on Long Island's South Shore are threatened by an increasing risk of flooding. That's according to a new study from the Long Island Regional Planning Council. WSHU's Caitlin Luba reports.
These flood zones are home to over 43,000 businesses, which altogether generate over $56 billion in annual sales. About 1 in 7 of those are in a very high-risk zone, meaning there is a 1 in 100 chance they could see flooding in any given year. All told, these businesses employ nearly a quarter of Long Island's 1.5 million workers. The Planning Council says they want to avoid potential economic fallout through projects that strengthen the South Shore's coastal resiliency. This includes storm surge barriers, retention ponds, and wastewater system upgrades. Caitlin Luba, WSHU News.
Connecticut officials say the state's economy grew by 3.1% in the past 2 years. That's better than any other New England state and above the U.S. average of 2.7%. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
Governor Ned Lamont says the state's growth has been boosted by an increase in manufacturing.
We've not only held our own, but increased manufacturing as a piece of our GDP over the last 5+ years. Well over 11-12% and growing.
Daniel O'Keefe is the Commissioner for Economic and Community Development. He says Connecticut is experiencing its fastest economic growth in 20 years and is now ranked 19th in the nation.
Things like technology, software, information industry, those are all growing nicely and becoming a bigger part of the pie. But the biggest thing that happened, our manufacturing sector started growing again.
He says Connecticut has benefited from federal policy on local manufacturing to become number one for the manufacture of aircraft engines, second in patents granted, and the third highest recipient of defense spending in the nation. Lamont and O'Keefe spoke at the Connecticut Business and Industry Association's annual State Manufacturers Summit in Hartford. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Nassau County officials say they've received 80 threats against schools this year. That's almost triple compared to this time last year. Nassau County Police Commissioner Pat Ryder says it's critical that online threats do not circulate on social media.
Do not repost what you got. Call 911. It goes out like wildfire and spreads through all the school districts, and then we're getting the calls at our school desk, which is manned during the school hours. So we try to, again, educate the public on report, do not repost.
Ryder says none of the threats have been deemed credible, and in Suffolk County, police say they've gotten about 3 dozen threats since school began this year. And across the Sound, Hearst, Connecticut media counted about 50 instances of gun and bomb threats reported, ranging from Fairfield and Norwich to New Haven and Bridgeport. a group of Sacred Heart University theater students took their musical comedy all the way to Scotland's Fringe Festival. That story is coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare, the only health system in the Northeast with all its hospitals receiving A grades for safety from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent safety watchdog group. HartfordHealthcare.org.
New Haven Mayor Justin Elliker and the city's police union president tentatively announced a new contract for New Haven police officers through 2028. New recruits would have a starting salary of $70,000 beginning this year, and that would go up to $77,000 by 2027. The Connecticut Department of Transportation has introduced four new Shoreline East trains running from Stratford to New London. That's thanks to $5 million in new state funding. The trains will go into effect on October 7th. New York State Senate Republicans are outlining their priorities as the GOP seeks to retake the upper chamber. Both houses of the New York State Legislature are controlled by Democratic supermajorities. Republican Minority Leader Rob Ort is focusing on immigration as the state prepares for early voting later this month.
We will work to end those policies day one. New York City will not get funding unless they change these policies. There will be no $4.3 billion. They can have 200,000, they can have 2 million people seeking asylum. They will not receive a dollar of taxpayer funding until they change the sanctuary policies that are creating this migrant crisis and making it infinitely worse.
Ort pointed to the killing of nursing student Lakin Riley in Georgia, allegedly committed by an undocumented immigrant who had previously been arrested in New York City. A group of Sacred Heart University students made their way to the famed Fringe Festival for Performing Arts in Scotland this summer. WSHU's Ada Uzenlar has more on their performance of the musical Reject Me Already.
Telling someone you're interested in them can be a nerve-wracking experience, and you just want them to like you back. Now imagine you're making that proclamation in front of an audience and you're competing with other people for that attention. That's exactly how Reject Me Already starts.
Okay. Awesome. Hi, I'm Sean. I'm 6'3 and I love roller coasters. Let's see if you're tall enough to ride this ride.
Terrible.
Feel illegal.
Hi, I'm Sage. I stay up all night partying with my Dungeons & Dragons campaign, obviously.
The musical is a love story where the audience chooses who gets to play the romance's main characters. What you just heard are the one-liners each actor introduces themselves with at the beginning of the show in hopes they'll get chosen for the lead roles.
This is such a great date. We should go on a second.
And a third.
Actor Sage Sperling says it's terrifying.
I stand there and I wait to be judged by the audience of people I don't know.
Paul Richard Keegan wrote Reject Me Already as a student at Sacred Heart University in Connecticut, and all the actors in the show come from the same school. But this version of the performance made its debut at the Fringe Festival in Edinburgh, Scotland. The nearly month-long event is the largest performing arts festival in the world. This year, it hosted more than 50,000 scheduled performances of about 3,300 different shows. Anyone can be a part of the festival, provided they can find a venue to host their performance. Then, actor Sean Ryan says it's all about advertising.
It's so busy, so packed. You'd walk across the street to get a coffee, and you'd come back home with at least 10 flyers.
So there's no guarantee that people will show up. It was the perfect place for a show like Reject Me Already. Vulnerable. Naturally, one might think the setting and the show's nature would make the musical's actors competitive. Ryan says it can be difficult to get rejected days in a row.
And there's like always that thought of, man, yeah, would I love to play the lead every single night? Of course. But, you know, it's sometimes it's just not in the cards.
The actors say that jealousy never came around because they fell for the plot. Actor Grace Pecknick says they really are in love with each other.
I think we knew starting this show, we were like, oh, we all fall in love with each other. We just got down to who we are as people, surrounded by each other. How could you not fall in love with each other?
they're not romantically in love with one another. This isn't a polycule. It's a shared love for the very craft they're performing and their shared dreams.
Now, as a performer and an actor, I can confidently say, oh, I am an actor. I'm going to pursue acting after college. I'm going to pursue musical theater. And that was not there with me before The Fringe.
None of the students who were a part of Reject Me Already know if they'll get a future in acting or writing. It's a difficult field to break into, and even though they received rave reviews at The Fringe, there are no promises. The musical's writer, Keegan, says it's a vulnerable profession.
Gone are the days of just being an actor. Now you need to be an actor and a writer and a director and a musician, and you need to be able to play the banjo while you're balancing on your head. It's like, you have to be able to do so much.
Take a breath, don't be crass, don't be crazy. But when they say hello.
The students say Reject Me Already was a daunting musical to perform, but it's great practice for a future dream. Ada Uzenlar, WSHU News.
No, please let me!
For the latest news from the Long Island Sound region, listen on the radio, stream at WSHU.org, or download the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. Your vote matters, and so do your questions. Last night's VP debate could very well be the last debate we see before Election Day. What do you need to know to make an informed decision at the polls this year? Well, we're listening to what you want from your election news. Let us know at WSHU.org under the Elections tab. It's on the homepage if you scroll down just a bit, and you can help shape our reporting. There's a quick and easy form you can fill out there. I'm Sabrina Garone. Enjoy the rest of your day. I will speak to you tomorrow.